All right. Can you hear me now? All right. All right. I'm working with my father-in-law, and never thought I'd be called to work with natives at all. I saw when I met my wife, I thought she was perfect. I know she still is. And but the only mistake I found in her is that she was working with natives. And I know I talk that down to the natives right now, but what I'm saying is that a lot of them are dealing with addictions. I don't know if you ever go out to a reservation. Addictions are very high. They hurt one another. A lot of them get drunk and end up making mistakes. I never thought God was going to call me to work with natives. And during the time when God was calling me, I didn't tell my parents this, but I was a little bitter against my grandma. I was very angry towards her because how she would treat my dad and how she used to beat on him. And the Lord helped me through that. The Lord gave me peace in my heart that I forgave her, you know. And I started seeing the people. Once I did that, I started seeing the people, the Indian people, as people, you know. Right now, we are trying to reach another reservation as well. We're working with the Kokopal right now. After deputation, we want to start another church. What we're going to start doing is having Bible clubs. Underneath, I don't know, we got a lot of trees out there. It's the Kachan side. The Kachan people, there's about 10,000 people. There's no church in nearby area. They don't allow people to go there and start churches. But there's a small town right outside of town, right outside of the reservation, half a mile, that they have a couple buildings there. But before we start getting into the building, getting a building, we want to start a Bible club and try to get people interested in the Word of God. There's no need for a building if no one's coming. So pray for us as we, God burned my heart for them. We've been working with natives. My father-in-law has been working with natives for 34 years. He's been working with the Kokopal for 28 years. And sad to say, we only got one tither. But he's reaching souls for him. And he's fulfilling God's call upon his life, just like I am. I believe the Kokopal are going to be reached, but I believe it's through longevity. Because they had too many generations where their moms were living like kids and got hooked to drugs at a young age. And a lot of them are so into drugs that they don't know how to get themselves out. You know, and they're very mixed in culture. They're very traditional. A lot of times you hear these powwows, and what they'll do is they'll shake the beads, and then what they're doing is trying to call upon the spirit of the animal, and what they're really doing is calling Satan's demons into the reservation and in their ceremony, and a lot of people are being possessed, you know. And when you're possessed, just like the Mayday of Gadara, you're hurting. You're not just being under control by them, you're actually hurting. You're hurting yourself, you're acting out of foolishness because you're possessed. And that's what, my father-in-law has seen a lot of possessed people. Just like we were talking about in Matthew 17 about the disciples trying to cast the demon out of the man's son. Oftentimes he was lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and into the water. He's being tormented. And these people are being tormented by the spirits, and they don't know the true and living God. They know there's a God out there. I'm going to talk about that. But they don't know who the true living God is. They don't know Jesus Christ. And it's my job, and God called me and my wife to working with them. He's given us a lot of opportunities. Some of the Kokopal are half Kachan. We're not allowed to door knock on people's doors. But people that we do know, or if we take a Kokopal with us, we have family on the Kachan side, we are more than welcome to do so. So we're actually, on Saturdays, we take some of the CocoPaw kids with us, and they just help us knock doors. So we use that as an advantage of getting the gospel to people. But most people already know my father-in-law, 28 years. He's the only one stuck it out. There are some people who are very traditional, but they'll let my father-in-law, let him go to my father-in-law's church because of his testimony, of his love for the people. You know, and that's what I want. I want them to know I care. You know, and it's not going to be a year. It's not going to be 2 years. You know, it's going to be it's probably going to be 7 or 8 years till they actually open more up to me. You know, they know my wife. My wife grew up around a lot of the kids who now are adults, and now their kids are coming. You know, and pray that we have two families, two couples that are being discipled. One family is dedicating their son to the Lord this morning. So praise the Lord for that. You know, it's God. It's God. I mean, they were so wrapped up in their tradition, but God brought them out of that lifestyle, and God preserved them and protected them, and now they're serving God today, this family. And it would not happen if it wasn't for a God stepping in and working their hearts. And it has to be, God's word has to be sent out by a man. And God has used my father-in-law. So pray for us as we minister. Pray that God will open a door for us to be more effective on the Kachan side as well. They have 10,000, the CocoPaw, they're about 1,000, 1,500. And everyone needs to hear the word. You know, we think a lot of times, this person don't deserve it. Well, neither did we. You know, you think about that. But pray for my wife. She can't be here. If you see me a little nervous, part of it is because I'm preaching. I want to preach God's word the way He wants me to. I want to preach with power. I want to preach with conviction. But also, I'm a little nervous because my wife's not here. It's amazing how wives help you out so much. You know, I miss her. It's been 2.5 weeks. I got about 8 more days till I get to see her. So I'm looking forward to that, most definitely. I love my wife. Pray for her. She's pregnant, and we're expecting. And his name's going to be Samuel. I thank the Lord for that, because when my wife was born, she was only 2 pounds. She was born 3 months early. She only was born with half a lung, 50% lung capacity. Due to the breathing machine that she was on, it damaged the lungs, her lung pipes, where there's scar tissue. So she has COPD since she was 2 years old. She also has asthma. She also has Raynaud's, a little bit of cerebral palsy. She has, I joke with her a little bit, you know, not every day, of course, but I tell her, you know, you're trying to get the whole alphabet, and she kind of laughs about that. But, you know, I love the spirit of my wife. Even though she goes through pain all the time, she goes through a lot of spasms. You know, she's not spazzing out on me, but I don't know. That was free. But she goes through so much pain, but yet she loves the Lord. That's what I love about her. You know, that's what drew me to her. You know, I didn't meet her till I was 30. I wanted to wait on God's will for my life. And any young person in here who's not married, wait. It's worth it. It's so worth it. You don't want to marry someone that you can't get along with. Amen. How can two walk together unless they agree? If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And when you have time, go to the back. There's a table back there. There's a prayer card. Feel free to take one and pray for us. Pray for us, because we need your prayers. There's a list out there. There's a sheet that if you wanted to wanted us to send you an updated prayer letter. We'll be happy to just put your name and your email, and we send it every quarterly, and we'll be happy to do so, keep you guys updated what's going on. Thank you for Pastor Boatman allowing me to preach. I'm excited. Pastor Boatman's I love to have a pastor that we can just joke around and have a good time. You know, he's not a, I've met some pastors, you joke with them once, you're in trouble. But Pastor Boatman, I love him. Thank you for having me to preach. And I'm not a well-known name, but, you know, I have my dad to represent me. All right, let's go to Scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verses 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the power by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful." I'll tell you, let's be thankful this season. Let's take time to thank the Lord. Next week, Wednesday, I believe you guys are going to give testimonies. Take time to think about how God has been good to you. All of us. Make a list. If you don't think, you don't think. Think about that. it says, "But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to the birds, to the four-footed beasts, and creeping thing. Wherefore God also gave them to uncleanness through the thoughts of the lust, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. I pray, Lord, that you would help me. Help me get your message across. I pray you deal with hearts today. Lord, I need you. We need you. We need to get a hold of you. We're your children. I know you desire to have a relationship with us. And if any of us lack a relationship with you, I pray that we get busy on that, Lord. We take time out of our schedule to spend time with you, Lord. I pray this, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to be a witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I gave up my full-time job at a fancy restaurant called Pizza Hut. You know, I gave up my job at Pizza Hut to go into full-time ministry. And when I worked for Pizza Hut, I was a delivery driver and also the dishwasher guy. And I started becoming so good at that. My boss told me if I would help in other areas. So I would help mix wings, mix sauces, portion wings, serve tables, work at the cash, the register, answer phones. I would do whatever it takes because two reasons. One is because I'm representing Christ. Matthew 4:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men, so they could see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." Second of all, I was doing it because of job security. I was doing it for job security, plain and simple. You know, I wanted my boss to keep me around over the other employees. My job was to be the best worker. You know, I wanted to stay there as long as possible, as long as God allowed me, and until another opportunity comes by. And it did, praise the Lord, the best opportunity. I wanted to be the best worker I could be. So I was working so hard to be one of the few that get to stay, you know. I wanted job security. You know, many religious people out there are looking for security itself. They're looking for eternal security. You know, you take Islam. Islam prays three times a day. They pray three times a day. They give. They give their money. They do good works. Some do. You know, they believe that it's good works. You know, you take Hinduism. Hinduism believes, they believe in reincarnation. They believe after someone dies, they'll come back as an animal. If you're a good person, if you gave yourself totally over to people, you'll come back as a lion or some kind of vicious animal, you know. Or if you don't, you'll come back as a cockroach, a beetle, I don't know, a skunk. I don't know. I was thinking about a chicken, you know. A chicken. Come back as a chicken, you know. You know, that's what they believe. They believe when you come back, you'll come back as an animal. Praise the Lord, when we die, we get to go to heaven. You know, Mormons, they believe in good works. They believe in good works. They believe that if they do enough good works, they get to go to their place called heaven. You know, Satan's smart. Don't think Satan's not smart. You know what he does? He tries to get the Mormons to carry around the King James Bible and say that we go by this book. You know what they do? They go by the other book. You know? They try to claim to be just like us, but they're not. You know? I've been to Salt Lake City, and they would open the Bible. They'll open the King James, and they'll read one passage, and not have a clue what it says. And they says, well, let's read out of the real Bible. And they'll take their Mormon Bible and they'll open it up and say, this is what the Bible really says. That's foolish. We're not supposed to change from God's word. You know, the Bible says if you change God's word, you'll be cursed. You know, you're not supposed to change God's word. This is his holy word. I believe it's inspired. I believe God spoke to the people, the ones who wrote it, and they just penned it. I believe that with my whole heart, you know. Yes, they're not the originals, but this is the best translated. This is the best translated. Let me not get off on that. But Mormons, they believe that when you enough good works, you'll get to go to a place, their place called heaven, where they get to receive rewards. They get money. Why would you need money when you got streets of gold? When you're not hungry, you're not thirsty. You don't have no worries, no cares. But that's their mindset of heaven. You know, many wives. I want one. Amen. The natives, they love to please the spirits. They believe they're scared of these spirits that come and haunt them. They believe that if we try to please the spirits, they will be pleased with us. So when after someone dies, they don't speak of the person's name again. They're afraid that that they'll be attacked or someone's going to die. They used to believe that when you take a picture, their soul will go into the picture. That's how they're professing themselves to be wise, but they become fools. Man's thinking is, I have to earn it my way. Jesus says, I am the way. John 14:6. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh on the Father but by me. Man's thinking is, I have to do it on my own. Christ already did it for us. Amen? Christ already did it. You don't have to work your way to heaven. You know why we get to serve in church? It's because we love him. You know? Isaiah 64:6 says, our righteousness are as filthy rags. You think about that. All the good we do won't compare us, won't get us to heaven, it's because we fall short. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Man tries to bring God down to our level. You know, in churches today, I want to be an encouragement, but this is reality. You know, many people try to make the church as an entertainment center when it's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a place where we just jam for Jesus. You know, that's foolish. He's holy. He's holy. We're not supposed to be worshiping ourselves, giving praise to ourselves. We're supposed to be giving praise to Him. And you know what? Most people, when they listen to music, they think they're listening to the words. You know, most of the time, you know what we're doing? We're jumping. We're getting excited about the tune. The tune. Not the words. You know, I don't mind people having screens. Some people have songs up there. But where are the notes? Where are the notes? You know, I could preach that here. Amen? You know, we can make up any tune we want. You know, but in our minds, we think all we need is the words. You know, a lot of times we know we have the sound of a song, but we don't know the words. And we know the beat of it, and we get excited. Some people dance and stuff, but what are the words saying? You know, I've been to a church where they had a fog machine. A fog machine. You know, what has our churches become? This is not an this is not a dance hall. This is a church. Christ died for the church. He did not die for the dance hall. He died for the church. And we have got to get over ourselves. And we have to look at it and say, what pleases Him? What pleases Him? Not us. Not what brings in the people. You know, Jesus says only a few are going to go to heaven. And I'll be, and you know, broad is the gate of least destruction and narrow is the way of life. You know what's going to change them? It's the Word of God. You know, and we're not Calvinists. We're not people saying like only you can go to heaven and you can't. You know, we don't know who's going to go to heaven. That's why we should be telling people. That's why we should get serious about the Lord's business. You know, He's in the soul-saving business. We've got to get over ourselves. Get over ourselves. You know, this is not even my notes. some people say I'm tempted by God. Well, James 1:13 says, let not man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt any man. You know, we're tempted when we're drawn away from our own flesh. You think about desserts. It's almost Christmas time. And your mom's, well, I do this. My mom's making those cookies, you know, butterscotch, you know. And when she's not looking, I try to take one, you know, because I'm tempted. I'm very tempted to take one, you know. I won't be here this Christmas. But I'm tempted. But every man's tempted when he's drawn away from his own flesh. Satan didn't talk to our first parents about all the wondrous trees that God provided in the garden. He would rather focus on that one tree that God had not given them. You think about that. He'd not say, man, look at all those trees over there. Look at all those fruit trees, man. No, he said, what about that tree? The knowledge of good and evil. Well, what about that tree? Why can't you have that tree? Well, God told us not to eat of it. Well, did He? You know? Did He? Satan tempts us. Satan tries to get us to do wrong all the time. Satan will try to do anything he can to break fellowship with, try to get us to break fellowship with Jesus Christ. You know? God will bless you here and here and here. And you're living right. You're, you know, some of us, don't like to stay within a budget. Some people use credit cards. I don't know. But let's just say you're staying on a budget and you say, God's blessed me here and here and here. And God's blessed my family. God's given me so much. God's given me a car. It might not be the newest car, you know. And then we look at over there, we look at the neighbors and says, well, how did you get that car? They said, well, I work Sundays, you know, or I work Wednesday nights. And you know, some people have to work Wednesday nights. Some people have to work Sundays, but they have to do it every Sunday. You know, let's just pretend that they have to work every Sunday. They have to be on top. They don't have time for their family. They don't have time for the things of the Lord. But I want to be blessed in this area. You know, I want to be blessed in this area. Satan tries to get our focus on that and try to get us out of church. And not just church with other things, you know. Our relationship with him. He brings things up in our life to get us distracted. Don't let him fool you. Don't let him fool you. When we stop trying to please ourselves and try to please him, we find the hope and the joy that we're looking for. I found this hope when I was 16 years old. I don't know if any of you guys found this hope. I believe most of you have this hope. And I'm going to have you guys hold your page in Romans 1. And I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is the hope I'm talking about. When I was 16, I heard of this hope. I was looking for hope. My parents weren't going to church at that time. But they were looking for something different out there. You know, you look at TV shows and you see it, you kind of wonder, you know, when you're little, you kind of wonder, look how well they get along. Well, maybe not today's shows. I don't know. But they used to have, like, Little House in Prairie. Or I love Andy Griffith, you know. We look at that. I love it, you know. Aunt B, she's something else. Barney 5. So, but 1 Timothy 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. You know, I was looking for that hope. I told you last hour that I got drunk for the first time when I was 11 years old. I got into alcohol when I was 10, and since I've been saved, I haven't touched it. It's not worth wasting my life around alcohol. It's not worth it. And if you struggle, I would encourage you to get around someone who does it. Don't get around people that deal with the same issue you struggle in, you know, unless they overcame it. Get around someone that is not struggling. Because when you're around that person that does struggle, it's hard, you know, it's hard to keep each other accountable. And when one falls, usually the other one falls. You know, I didn't start going to church until I was 16 years old. And like in the video, I said I went to college. I got saved. I went to college. And later on, I was helping new church plants. Like I said, I've been at 4 churches. And I led songs 4 times. That says something. you know, and God brought me my wife. I visited my father-in-law's church, and now I'm working with the natives. How is my wife and I going to reach the natives for Christ? How are we going to tell them of this good news? You know, how are we going to tell them of the hope that they can have in Jesus Christ? You know, they worship and serve the creature over the Creator. You know, how are we going to reach them with the gospel? You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I want us to think about that. If our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We have the good news. We got the answer. You know, people sing the songs about, you know, the answer to life, we got the answer to life is right here, you know. We got the Word of God. He knows all. He created us. He knows every problem that we're dealing with. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be tempted as we were, but yet without sin. I would say the way we're going to reach Him is the same way you're guys going to reach Beeville. You know, there are three ways that I like for us to apply this. I got 3 points. Hopefully you can apply this to your life. I believe you can. And here they are. First of all, it's we're going to reach the cocoa paw for Christ by humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. You don't have to think, oh man, I'm a bad person. And you know, some people, Satan tries to keep us in guilt and believing that we're not saved and living in a life of discouragement. And I can go into, we're a new creature in Christ, all things are passed away, behold, all things become new. But humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's just not thinking of yourself. You know, putting self to the side. And I'm gonna show you how Paul did it and what I learned from Paul by reading this chapter. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, it says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. You know, you hear that song, the drunk on the street, the rich in the palaces, the poor and the unlearned, and the man of degree. They all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have to come to Calvary. No matter where you come from, you have to come to Calvary in order to receive Jesus Christ. I admit, every time when I walk by someone, I don't feel like I owe them all my time. You know, but we should. We should take time for the lost. You know, the barbarians are looked down at by the Roman citizens because they're not citizens. You know, the Romans thought they're on their high horse and they think they're above everyone else. You know what Paul is doing? He's stepping off the horse and he's saying, I owe these people the gospel just like I owe my own citizens. You know, he says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. How many of you guys have kids that don't behave? Or have a kid in Sunday school that always interrupts you? You know, or always puts his foot in his mouth? Yeah, you know, husbands, I do that. we're supposed to minister not just to the wise, encourage one another, but also to the unwise. Well, this person don't deserve my time. This person don't deserve my time. You know, look at him. He's filthy. He's dirty. He don't deserve my time. I'll tell you, neither do we. Can you go back to a time when you were not saved and God got you to the place of salvation? You think back. I remember a lot of arguing and a lot of violence, you know, in the home. But you know what? God brought us out. My dad's going to church. My mom's going to church. My sister is. I got a great brother-in-law. I got a great family that is going to church. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. It's not because we inherited my grandpa was a preacher. His grandpa was a preacher. It was nothing like that. You know, and if your grandpa was a preacher, great. But you know what? Most of us who come to Christ never had a Christian background. You know? I like to say number two, it's by preaching we're going to reach the cocoa paw for Christ. By preaching. Charles Spurgeon once said, we are not responsible to God for the souls that are saved, but we are responsible for the gospel that is preached and for the way in which we preach it. You know? Verse 15 says this, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Paul was a preacher man. He was not a shy guy. He was a man of knowledge, but he used his knowledge to reaching others, other Romans, other Gentiles for Christ, for the Jews. He was trying to reach the Jews, you know? He used his knowledge, what he knew of God, and gave it out to people. He preached the word unashamedly. I like 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And then you look at verse 21, it says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching." By the foolishness of preaching. It was by preaching I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was by preaching that I was under conviction. I said, God, help me. Help me. Change me. I got all this filthy thoughts in my mind. I got all this. I used to struggle with alcohol. I struggle with being respectful to my parents. Lord, help me humble myself. Help me. I don't think we do that enough. And I'm not saying just because I did it, but I'm encouraging you guys to do it. You know, it's by preaching that got me down to this altar. You know, when you preach the word. Don't be copying all these other preachers. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Get in it. Preach the word. Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:2. You don't have to turn there. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering of doctrine. When you preach for love. Preach in love. Preach in love. Don't preach in anger. Preach in love for the sinner. Not because, don't preach at him because what he's doing wrong. Preach at him because you love him. Preach at him. Give him the gospel. Tell him about Jesus Christ. If you can't give a test, if you cannot know how to lead someone to the Lord, why don't you give him your testimony? Tell them how you were led into prayer. Tell them, like, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and he'll save you. You know? You know, you come to the realization of you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and by your good works you can't get to heaven on your own, but it's through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that you can. And love the sinner. Practice what we preach. The world's looking at us. The world is looking at us. Ask Pastor Boatman. I'm sure people are looking at him. You know, they're looking at me. They're looking at us. Not just the preachers, but also the people in the pew. You say you go to such and such church, they want you to, they think of you differently. You know? Third of all, by boldness. It says in verse 16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek." Boldness is not being afraid, confident in the way that might seem rude or foolish. You know, when I got saved, I wanted to tell my friends about Jesus Christ. And I wanted to tell them how to get to heaven. And they would tell me, well, weren't you at that party? You know, weren't you? Well, that's my old life. I have a new one. I have a new Heavenly Father. And you know, I wanted to tell people what happened to me. And people would laugh and mock, say, you know, you're probably going to go back. You're just part of this so-called cult for a little while, and then you're going to go back to your old ways. And I never did. You know, I've been saved for 16 years, you know. I didn't care what people thought of me. Neither should you. You know, why do I want the fame of this world? I got Jesus. When I got saved, I couldn't read. My reading level is 1.5. So what I did is I was under conviction, and I asked God to help me, teach me how to soul win. So I went to the back, grabbed a bunch of tracks, and some teenagers thought it was funny, and he told me that you got to put on a suit jacket. This is El Centro. I lived in El Centro. El Centro is about it was like 118. It was hot. And I had a t-shirt on. I don't know what kind. Unfortunately, I had a suit jacket on, and I went out to Walmart, started passing out tracks. And people would ask me questions, and they'd be like, are you post-trib or pre-trib? And I was just like, just read the track, here you go. Some people would say, like, do you speak in tongues? I was like, what in the world? What is that? And they would explain to me, and it says, not at our church. Here you go. And some people would say, well, you know, they'll ask some kind of revelation question. I'll just say, well, read the track. I did not know how to read. But that still did not stop me from soul winning. You know, that still did not keep me from telling them of that hope in Jesus Christ. You know, you look around you. You see a lot of Catholics. I understand that. You see a lot of people that are lost. And you look around and you see people destroying themselves. It's a lack of knowledge. You know, it's a lack of knowledge. After I went to Walmart, I got kicked out of Walmart. Then I went to Costco and started passing them out. Got kicked out of Costco after a while. And then I went to Albertsons, and I got kicked out of there. And by the end of the day, I was at Taco Bell, giving out a few tracks, got me something to drink because it was hot. At 4 o'clock in Yuma or El Centro, they're only about 45 minutes away from each other. It's the hottest time of the day. It really is. When the sun sets, is the hottest time of the day. And it's probably like 1:20, and I'm so thirsty, but I gave someone a track, and they told me to leave. I didn't care. I'm still doing it today. Maybe sometimes I forget, yes, but God reminds me. God speaks to me, and he tells me, you know what? It reminds me that you should be talking to that one person, you know? Allow God to work in your heart. I was just like anyone else in this place. I was a sinner who came to Christ. I sat in the pew. I sang the hymns, and I was no one special. But God used me, is using me today because I was yielded to his will. You know, let's be yielded to his will. You know, a preacher once said, diligence plus dependence equal victory. Diligence is a consistent effort to accomplish what God instructs you to do. Dependence is when you're in need of someone or something. That's just like me. When I couldn't read the Word of God, I struggled, I would sound out words, and I would go back to God asking for help. Lord, help me and give me help me protect me from my old temptations, from that old lifestyle. Died with the old man, but I still have my flesh. You know, how is my wife and I going to reach the cocoa pulp for Christ? You know, how are you going to reach this area for Christ? The same way. It's through humility. It's not about us. It's not about us. We're not here to put on a show. You know, we're here for him. Second of all, through preaching. The preaching of God's word. You know, lack of knowledge. Where do you get it? From God's word, right here. You know, and through being bold in our stand. You know, people are going to try to throw some things our way and try to get us to go away from the word of God, but stay in the book. Take a stand. Be bold. You know, if we get a hold of these three truths, I believe God will enable us to be more effective in his work for him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. I thank you for Pastor Boatman. Thank you for this church. Lord, I pray that you would continue using it and reaching souls for you, Lord. Please help us. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And I pray that you deal with hearts. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for all the many blessings you bestowed upon me. May you help us through this week, go about our week, and remembering what we got to be. We got to be humble. We got to get ourselves off the pedestal and lift up you. Lord, help us. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.